It's good to be here. And if you're new here, you may hear young children in the service. And that's a good thing. We love children. And so don't be surprised when you hear them. Thank you very much, Joe and your worship team. I was really blessed in the singing, in communion, in the prayer this morning. Thanks, Al. And God is so good. We're so thankful that we serve the true God. We're so thankful that we have His Word, as Al was saying. So we are now going to turn to His Word. We're going to turn to the preaching of His Word as well. Now, in my preparation for the sermon, in my preparation for this topic, even over the years, I've read many books. I've listened to many sermons, and I am indebted to many. So a lot of these ideas aren't brand new ideas. In fact, none of them are. And none of a preacher's ideas should be brand new. They should be coming from Scripture, and they should be coming from faithful men who have expounded Scripture. Now, my purpose this morning, I want to speak about one of the greatest challenges that children face and how to overcome the barriers to blessing. We have forgotten one of the main commandments, one of the primary commandments. It's so important. It's in the Ten Commandments. We have forgotten to be applying this. It is wreaking havoc on the home. It is wreaking havoc on the family. It is capitulating to Satan. It is capitulating to the devil. It is capitulating to the communist goals and ideas. It is capitulating control of the family to the state. It is destroying the family. It is destroying society as we know it. In our day, we accept the lie that the terrible twos are something that just happens and not something that we should be disciplining diligently. Children are not growing up. They're behaving like undisciplined toddlers for long periods of time. Being stubborn against parents is something that's hardly even blinked at. It's not even considered sin in some families. Children who are inattentive and distracted when their parents are speaking with them is common. As a result, they inadvertently disobey because they were not actually that interested in obeying and honoring their parents in the first place. Teenagers who roll their eyes in disdain at their parents' standards and at their parents' requirements. Maybe this is you. Teenagers staying out later than their parents say. In our day, we think that it is normal for teenagers to have some kind of a rebellious stage that they after a while grow out of. But it doesn't stop with younger children and young men and young women. In our day, there's 35-year-old men who never grow up and are still playing video games in their parents' basement. There are nursing homes that are filled with elderly parents of men and women who just cast them off and no longer care for them, hardly even visiting them while they waste away in what can amount in some cases to an insane asylum. And I don't know about you, but I have been in some of these. Brothers and sisters, we have entered an age of entitlement where children chase their own pleasure. Proverbs puts it this way: there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but they are not washed of their filth. There are those, how lofty are their eyes, how high their eyelids lift. My purpose today is to remind the children, the young men and young women who live with their parents, that there is a way to blessing. But there are many detours to destruction. There are many snares that strain relationships. My purpose is to point children to the path of blessing, that hard but difficult path. And my purpose doesn't stop there. Remember, every single one of us who is a Christian is a son or a daughter of our Heavenly Father. Every single one of us needs to be honoring and obeying our Heavenly Father. No matter how old you are, many of the principles in this sermon apply to you as well. Now let's turn together to Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. We'll start in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. In the series, we have been covering wives, husbands, and now we turn to children. Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present her to himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And today we are looking specifically at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 6. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, oh Father, we come to you and we ask you that by your Holy Spirit you would work through your word, the words that we have just read. We ask that you would work through the word as it is preached. Father, I am so weak, I know my weakness. Father, my own attempts at expositing your word are so weak, and I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would work through the sermon, that words that are not quite right would not even be remembered. But Father, we pray that your word, as it is preached faithfully, would change us. Father, the goal of the sermon is to change your people. We want to be changed by your word. We want to obey your word more. And so, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in the hearers, in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this sermon is going to be organized under three headings: obedience, honor, and blessings. Obeying your parents, honoring them, and the blessings for that. Now think of the setting of what we just read. 2,000 years ago, there is a gathering of Christians, and a man comes and he is reading the letter from the Apostle Paul to the Christians who are gathered together. There's young men, there's old men, there's grandfathers, there's young women, there's mothers, there's grandmothers, there's slaves, there's masters, there's lawyers, there's landowners. And they are all listening to this letter, and they have just heard the instructions for husbands. And before that, they heard the instructions for wives. And these instructions can be boiled down, each of these, to a single word. For husbands, it is love. For wives, it is submit. And now he comes to children. The children are listening very carefully because he says, children. They are listening very carefully because they want to hear the most important instruction that Paul is telling them. Paul is writing to them, and we want to see something very important here. Paul is writing directly to the children. He knows that the children are going to be in the gathering of the Christians. They're not going to be off in some kind of a junior church. They're not going to be off in a separate Sunday school. He knows that the children are in this gathering of the Christians, one congregation, all ages. No age segregation. Children understand more than you think they understand. Age segregation was not practiced by the church for almost 2,000 years. Not until only very recently, in the last couple hundred years or so, have Christians decided to bring in this idea from the culture around them. They didn't get the idea from the New Testament. They didn't get the idea from the Old Testament. But that's a different topic, and we're not going to chase that topic down any further this morning. Now, the first division of the sermon, children obey. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, the first thing we notice, children, for you to be blessed, for you to be happy, you need to be obeying your parents. Whatever your parents say, you need to be attentive, listening very carefully so that you can obey. Another way to say it is that when your parents give you instructions, you need to be not only a hearer of those instructions, but a doer of those instructions. Now, some children think, children, obey your parents if they are right. No, it says, obey your parents. For this is right. The parallel verse in Colossians 3 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. What does God think when you obey your parents? What does he think? It pleases him. God is pleased. He's smiling down on you when you are obeying your parents. You bring God pleasure. Think of that. You bring God pleasure. He's up there and you're bringing him pleasure when you're obeying your parents. Now maybe you're starting to think, but my parents are telling me to do things that are not even in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say, like, you have to have a certain bedtime. The Bible doesn't say you have to eat all the food on your plate, or that you have to eat the food on your plate tomorrow morning if you don't finish it tonight. The Bible doesn't say that. Why should I listen to my parents? But God has put your parents as the authority in your household, and you need to obey them. Paul says, obey your parents. Now, why does Paul need to tell us? Why does God need to tell us to obey? Because we are sinners that often want to disobey. Why? Why is this the case? We disobey by nature. Think of it. Squirrels, in this season right now, squirrels are running around. They're getting nuts from the trees. They're collecting them up. They're digging holes in your yard. They're hiding them underneath the grass. And why do they do that? Because it is in their nature. And now, sin, disobedience is in our nature. Sometimes we just have the urge to disobey. It almost feels like we can't help it. It's part of our nature. But we also disobey because we decide to disobey. Did your brother make you disobey because he was holding a knife point to your back? No. Was somebody threatening you with a gun and that's why you decided to disobey? No, that's not right. That's not why. We decide to do bad things because we want to do bad things. To say it another way, we think that our own way is a better way than our parents' way. So we are sinners who disobey because it is in our nature and because we decide to disobey. But disobedience is very serious. In the law, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 21, we can see how serious it is. I'm not going to read it, but when a child is stubborn and disobedient and will not listen to his parents, that child gets stoned. He gets the death penalty. We do not do this now under the new covenant, but it shows how serious God takes disobedience. God is serious about it when you disobey your parents. God is against you if you disobey your parents. And we can see how this worked out for a famous king of Israel. Remember Saul? He was king of Israel. He acted valiantly. He led the Israelite armies. He gained many victories. And then one day, Samuel came with the word of the Lord, and Samuel told Saul, go completely and utterly destroy the Amalekites. Don't take any plunder for yourself. So what did he do? Saul quickly went. He fought against the Amalekites. He won a great victory. He destroyed them, except he kept some of the best animals. These were the best ones. Surely he could take some, a few, for his armies and for himself. He also kept Agag, the king, alive. You see, Saul was self-centered. These animals, these great animals, were more important to him than completely obeying God. When Samuel came, Saul said, I have carried out the commandment of the Lord. And then Samuel said, what is this bleating of sheep and lowing of cattle that I hear? And he said, why did you rush in and take the spoil? Then Saul gave a few excuses. He said, it was the people who did it. Against the king? Was he really not that great? It was the people. Oh, it was for a good purpose. It was to sacrifice to the Lord. Actually, I was afraid of the people. And then Samuel said these words, and every one of you children should take these to heart. You should listen very carefully. He said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion, children, disobedience is rebellion against your parents. He says, for rebellion is as a sin of divination, and presumption is as idolatry and iniquity. And then he says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Now, Saul's probably thinking, I accepted it. I did almost everything. And Samuel's saying, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Disobedience has serious consequences. The Lord takes greater delight in your obedience to him, in your obedience to your parents, than he does in you doing some great work, serving the church in some ministry. He takes greater delight in your obedience to your parents than in reading the Bible a lot, praying a lot, while you are disobeying your parents. Now let's see how this works out for you. Obedience means right away and all the way. Right away. Obedience does not wait until it is convenient for you to disobey. If your mother says, take out the trash, and you say to yourself, I'm going to finish this chapter of the book I'm reading, then I'll take out the trash. That's not right away, and that's a kind of disobedience. It means it's immediate. It means it's without distraction. That means if your father says, it's time to brush your teeth, you don't go and brush your teeth slowly while you're reading a book. Disobedience with distraction is disobedience. Now, disobedience also means, right away means that you can't be distracted by doing something else. Maybe something else that's good. You can't, if your parents ask you to do something, you can't just do something else that's good and then, you know, say, well, I'm supposed to be cleaning the kitchen on Tuesdays anyways. I'm supposed to sweep the floor on Tuesdays anyways. So, you know, my parents told me to do one thing, but I'll sweep the floor first because that's a good thing that I should be doing. And I sort of like that better than this other thing that they told me to do. No, that is also disobedience. This excuse is like a soldier not responding to his commanding officer because he was polishing his boots. His commanding officer is not going to like that very much, and your parents will not like that very much, and God will not like that very much. So obedience is right away. It is obedient. It is chop, chop, right away. But that is not all that is required for obedience. Obedience is also all the way, all the way. It is complete obedience. It means that you are being attentive so that you can be sure that you will carry out the job. Halfway obedience is not obedience. So you see, Saul immediately attacked, but he didn't complete the job. If your job is to clean out the car, maybe clean out the van, and you clean it out, but you leave out the very back seat, that is also disobedience. Also, if you're listening, if you're trying to, while you're listening to your parents or if you're listening to your boss, but you're listening, trying to find loopholes, like a lawyer might, so that you can obey, you know, the words, exactly what they told you to do, without obeying the Spirit, finding some way around the part you don't like. Would that be obedience? Yes? No, it's not obedience. That's like tidying your room, but, you know, leaving a little pile of dirt outside the door. If your parents tell you to tidy your room, and you leave a pile of dirt outside the door, that's not obedience. You're not obeying the Spirit of what they say. Obedience that is not right away or all the way is like biking a few blocks to your friend's birthday party, but leaving an hour late or, you know, stopping to play with somebody else's dog on the way. Either way, you don't make it to the party, and your friend won't be very happy if you're patting the dog for a long time, not just a minute or so. Now, you might be here. You might be 30 years old. You might be 60 years old. You might be getting bored because it's like, oh, this stuff doesn't really apply to me. Or you might be saying, preach it, brother. I see little children here, and they need to hear this. They need to hear this message on obedience. But as I said before, we are all children of our Heavenly Father. We all need to be reminded to obey our Heavenly Father right away and all the way. What are some of God's commandments? Do not get angry. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be devoted to prayer. As we've been reminded a couple of times already this morning, be devoted to prayer is a commandment for you. Use no filthy talk or coarse jesting. Maybe at your workplace, that's common, but it should not be for you. Let your speech always be gracious. We need to be attentive, no matter how old we are. We need to be attentive to our Heavenly Father. He is speaking to us in His Word. We need to be attentive to Him. Don't just like leave His Word over here and like, well, I'm obeying everything I know. No, you need to be attentive to your Heavenly Father. Be diligent to open it and listen. Okay, so children and adults, to be blessed, you need to be obedient all the way, right away. But that's not all that's needed to be happy and blessed. Let's look in chapter 6, verse 2. Honor your father and mother. Another way of saying this is that children must honor their parents is that they must esteem their parents very highly. You know, don't be thinking, yeah, there's some good parents, but you know, my parents aren't that great. I don't really need to esteem my parents that highly. No. You need to honor your parents. You need to esteem your parents very highly. You need to have great respect for your parents. Obedience in action, you know, we've talked about obedience and we've talked about your actions. Obedience in action, but not in your attitude, is as hollow as a balloon. As soon as it is pricked, it bursts with a bang. It's not much of a balloon anymore. It is not much of obedience. Now remember biking to your friend's place. This time, though, you arrive on time. You're there at the party. But you're grumbling the whole time. Oh, this cake isn't that good. This guy's receiving too many good presents. That, don't you see how similar this is to, you know, obeying in everything, but grumbling in your mind, having a bad attitude? It's not actually obedience. To say it simply, true obedience is right away, all the way, in a happy way. Or a happy way could be joyfully and respectfully. Your attitude, your heart needs to be right. Leviticus 19:3 says, every one of you shall revere your father and mother. The word revere means to hold in awe, to respect, to fear, as in fearing the Lord. That is, you need to be revering your father and mother all the time. A humble reverence. Now, if you do not revere your father and mother, whom you can see, how are you going to revere your heavenly Father who you cannot see? God sees the heart. Trying to honor your parents and actions with a wrong heart attitude that God sees is like talking kindly to your soccer coaches while kicking the ref. This is not true obedient honor. Honoring your parents means that you do what they ask from the heart joyfully, respectfully, deciding that you will want to do what they ask you to do. Now you might say, but I don't want to be weeding the garden. I don't want to be home by 10 p.m. I can't want to do the things that I don't want to do. Yes, you can. You sure can. You decide to want what you don't feel like doing. You decide to change what you want. You decide to have the self-control to do this. Don't just be a slave of your own sinful passions. It takes self-control. So have freedom. Don't stay a slave to your sinful passions, to your own self-centered desires. I don't know, 15, 20 years ago or so, our family was building a house together. It took a while because we did almost all of it ourselves. But my dad asked me to dig some kind of a ditch. I don't remember if it was for weeping tile or if it was, I don't remember what it was for, but to dig some kind of a ditch close to our house. Maybe it was for laying electrical cable to us. I'm not sure what it was anymore. But he asked me to dig this ditch, and I knew there was a better way to do it. There was definitely a better way to accomplish what we were trying to accomplish. And I tried to reason with my father. I tried to really show him how there's another way. We shouldn't be doing it this way. But he told me we had to do it, so I obeyed in my actions. I did it, and I was not happy. But as I was digging that hole, I realized I am sinning. I am sinning against God. I am sinning against my father. And my conscience was really getting to me. And then I decided, I am going to do this joyfully. My dad told me to do this, and I am going to put my best effort into doing this just the way he said to do it. And as soon as I decided that, I was joyful. I was actually happy to be doing this. And I am very glad that my father insisted on me doing this thing that maybe in reality wasn't the best way to do it, but it taught me a very valuable lesson. Okay, so we have seen that obedience that honors your parents is all the way, right away, and in a happy way. That's right. Now, one of the best ways, actually another way to say that is immediately, completely, joyfully, and respectfully. Now, one of the best ways to know whether you're actually honoring your father and your mother joyfully and respectfully is to listen to your conscience. God has given you a conscience that will help you know if you are sinning. Your conscience won't leave you alone if you're not honoring your parents. Listen, don't try and push it down. Listen to your conscience. Now, children, one of the hardest times to honor your parents is when they are disciplining you, whatever that discipline looks like. So how should you respond when your parents discipline you? Well, Proverbs says that a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer is the one who does not listen to rebuke. Also, you will be honored if you listen to reproof. The Bible says that a father who withholds the rod of discipline hates his son, but one who loves him disciplines him diligently. So, if you are receiving discipline from your parents, maybe it's that you can't use the car for the next week because you stayed out after 10 p.m. If you are receiving discipline from your parents, it is because they love you. Know that your parents love you if you are being disciplined. As our brother read Joel this morning in Hebrews, even though discipline seems painful, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness by those who have been trained by it. Now, on the simple but difficult path to blessing is correction. Proverbs 10:17 says, if you are on the path to life, if you are on the path to life, you are listening to instruction. But that you are going astray, you're going off the path if you ignore reproof. And sorry, that's a paraphrase. Now here are some practical ways that you, young men, young women, here are some practical ways that you can honor your parents. Do not speak down to them. Do not speak down about them ever. Maybe your friends are speaking down about their parents. Maybe you need new friends. No, I'm serious. Because if your friends are fools, it's going to make you more like a fool. Now think about also, young men and women, think about some of the best things that your parents have given you or that your parents are like, and praise them for that. Now, my father is a man of principle. He's a strong man. And I have never seen him lose his temper, to be out of control of his emotions. I have seen him get angry, a controlled anger, at a young man who had disrespected my mother. And I praise my father for the control of his anger, and I try to imitate that. Now, there's many character traits that your mother and your father have. There are many good character traits. So praise them for that. When you're talking to others, tell them how much you appreciate those character traits wherever it's appropriate. Now, as a young man or a young woman, maybe you're 12 years old, maybe you're 18 years old, or 22, you are mature enough, you're old enough that you are able yourself to figure out how to honor your parents. You don't need your mother or your father to tell you how to honor your parents. So work at figuring it out on your own. Think about, how can I honor my parents? And then do that. Follow their example wherever that example points to Christ. Now, as you leave home and are living on your own or with your spouse, honor them by making an effort to spend time with them. Also, the sin of pride can get in the way of honoring your parents, even as you're older. Pride can cause you, as a new parent, to think, you know what? I've got it all figured out. I know how to be a parent. I've listened to this ministry or that ministry, and I've learned how to be a good parent. I've seen some of the ways that my parents weren't good parents. So I'm going to listen to this, and I'm not going to ask advice from my parents very much. I went through a stage like this when I was newly married and a new father. I turned the tap of my parents' wisdom down to like a trickle for a period of life. I was not quick to seek their advice. But thankfully, I have opened that tap wide now to seek their advice. And they have a lot of wisdom. And in fact, your parents have a lot of wisdom that you can be seeking in this stage of life. So turn on the tap of your parents' wisdom. Now, pride can also come into play when, you know, you've learned a doctrinal truth, an amazing true doctrine from God's word that your parents never taught you. In fact, they still don't know it. But honoring your parents means you don't bring up doctrinal arguments every time you get together. Some of you, like John from a fundamentalist background, when he came to know the doctrines of grace, I'm sure that was a temptation. Maybe you grew up in a King James Version only household. And there's different kinds. There's Baptist, there's Reformed traditions that many of them come from a King James only. Like, if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. And But if you grew up in that home, then when you get together with your family, you don't make an argument about it. You happily read from the King James Version when you get together with your parents. By all means, speak the truth at times when it's appropriate. But do it with a humble attitude. Now, as you get much older, in your 40s or 60s, your parents are getting older as well. Some of us are at that stage. They're going to need care. Now, whose responsibility is the care of your parents? Is it the government's responsibility? No. Is it the church's responsibility? Well, if you're sitting here, it's no. They have a responsibility to take care of widows who are truly widows, who have no family, but your parents have family. According to 1 Timothy chapter 5, you, children and grandchildren, are to repay your parents for all the care that you have received from your parents by caring for them. For this is good and pleasing to God. But maybe you say, I can't do it. I'm busy with my own family. Work. I work a lot of hours every week. I am serving the church in this ministry, and so I can't take care of my parents. Some of the Pharisees were like that. They said, you know, if you tell God, you know, God, I'm going to give all my time that I would have helped my parents to you, God. I'm going to give it as a gift to you. God says, Jesus says, that is wicked. You are being hypocrites. You are making your own ideas that go directly against God's commandments. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith. He is worse than an unbeliever. That is what Paul says to you. This means that you don't automatically send your parents off to a nursing home. If they can live with you, that is far better. Sending your parents to live with 50 other people who have a hard time hearing or have some aspect of mental decline is a recipe for mental decline in your parents. It's discouraging them to physical decline. We've already said that children should not be segregated based on age automatically, and neither should old people. They shouldn't be automatically segregated based on age. Now, my grandmother, she lived out the last 5 years or so of her life at my parents' place. She was definitely in mental decline. She would see things that aren't there, that weren't there. Sometimes she would wander away. But she had family who loved her every day, who spoke with her. She ate meals with my family, with my parents' family every day. She had the gospel shown, presented, sometimes spoken directly to her all the time. She wouldn't have had any of this if she was away in a nursing home. Her life, because of who she was, would have been horrendous. Me and my brothers plan on taking care of our parents when they get older. I hope my children take care of us when we get older. And I hope you, middle-aged brothers and sisters, will take care of your parents as they get older. Honor your parents by taking care of them. Now, sometimes professional care is necessary. Sometimes you can't be the ones who care for your parents. Sometimes they do need to go into some kind of a place where they can receive the care that they need. But if that's the case, don't just, you know, set them there and forget it. No, visit them often. Visit them every day if you can. That is a way to honor your parents. All right, so we have seen the two great commandments for children: to obey your parents and to honor your parents. Not only to be a hearer, but an attentive hearer. Not just a hearer, but a doer of what they say. A joyful doer. Now, the last thing that we're going to see in our text this morning is that you will be blessed if you do this. Ephesians, and we'll just read right at chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, Here's the blessing. This commandment has a blessing. Honor your parents, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. This doesn't mean that you're automatically going to live a long life. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be rosy. It doesn't mean that go well with you. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be rosy. It's like the Proverbs. It's not a specific promise that's going to be true, that you're going to live, you know, till you're 90 because you're honoring your parents and you're obeying them. But it is a principle that is true in your life. It will be going well with you. And it is generally true that if you are a wicked person who hates your parents, your life won't be as long, it won't be as blessed as if you were obeying and honoring your parents. But let's look at some of the blessings in which children are blessed to obey and honor their parents. Obedient children are free children. Parents trust obedient and children who honor them. And they give their children more and more freedom as their children obey and honor them. Children, have you ever gained more freedom by arguing against your parents, by dishonoring them? No, you don't gain freedom that way. Obedient children are strong children. God ordains the authority of your parents. And when you obey that authority, when you honor that authority, you have strong character. Obedient children also gain authority and influence. The only person who can effectively lead is the one who obeys and honors the authority over them. You never get authority from yourself. It always comes from authority that's above you. And no one in his right mind is going to give authority to a child who is disobedient and dishonoring. Now, the parent-child relationship is also a picture of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. You have the privilege to now, on this world, to live in a relationship with your parents that is a picture of God the Son, Jesus, with His Father, the perfect Father-Son relationship. The Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world. The Father shows the Son all things that He does. Jesus was an obedient Son who followed the example of His Father. Jesus said, "My Father is working and I am working, and I do as the Father commanded me." Jesus also did not seek His own will, but the will of the Father who sent Him. Now you should be striving to make all of these things true in your relationship with your parents. It won't be a perfect relationship with your parents, but take heart. You can make it better by obeying and honoring them. Now maybe you're thinking, "But you don't understand my sin. My parents truly are wicked. The things that they did to me as a child. Maybe my father divorced my mother and he left. How can I be obedient and honoring?" But your Heavenly Father understands. There are hard things. Sin has messed up this world. But you can truly obey and honor your Father, your Heavenly Father. And the obedience and honor that you can show to your parents, show it as far as it can go, even if it is limited because of sin. It is still a picture of the perfect Heavenly Father and Jesus' Son relationship. Now, for all of us, whatever age we are, Jesus is the perfect example of that proper relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, if you don't have a personal relationship with your Heavenly Father, you don't have a proper relationship with your Heavenly Father. You are actually disobeying the command to repent. If you are not in a relationship with your Heavenly Father, if you haven't come to Christ, then you are actually disobeying His command to repent. That's found in Acts chapter 17, verse 32. To be a true son of God, you need to repent, which means to turn away from your sin, to turn to Christ, to believe in Him. You are commanded to believe in Him. So so that you can become a true son of your Heavenly Father. And when your faith is in Christ, then you are a son of God. Now, children, I'm not interested if you know the right answers to this. I'm not interested if you can say, yes, I need to obey my parents, I need to honor my parents, if you are not actually doing it. I'm interested in what you actually do, what you actually believe, not just in knowing the right answers. In fact, your parents don't really care if you know the right answers, but you're not obeying and honoring your parents. They don't care how capable and how smart and how good you are at sports, how good your marks are. They don't care about any of those things if you are not a respectful, obedient son or daughter who honors their parents. Young man, young woman, maybe you're 12, maybe you're 22. You might be excited to fight Satan, to fight the powers of wickedness, of darkness that are in this world. You might be excited to share the gospel, to spread it around the world. And you should be. But the real battle is in yourself first. You are going to have an opportunity today, children, whatever age you are, you're going to have an opportunity today to obey your parents or to disobey them. You're going to have an opportunity today to decide to honor your parents or to dishonor your parents. You will have an opportunity this week to grow in wisdom and stature in the sight of God and in the sight of your parents. You're going to have this, you're going to have many opportunities, but you can be choosing to bring curses on yourself as well. God has given and he's revealed to us the means to receive blessing. Will you accept that means? Will you follow that means? Maybe there are ways that you're falling short. There are ways that we're falling short, but maybe there are ways that you are falling short and you know it. You have been secretly dishonoring your parents, secretly disobeying them. Don't leave it hidden. Don't decide to dishonor them and to hide it any longer. Tell them. You expose your disobedience. Bring it to light. When you go home today, confess it to your parents. They care for you and they will help you. And the same goes for all of us, whatever age we are. If we have been dishonoring God, if we have been disobeying God, if there's something that we need to repent of, go home today, even now, confess your sin to God, to your Heavenly Father. Repent. He loves you. He will forgive you. He will do this. He loves you. He cares for you. And he will forgive you. You don't need to be afraid of God by telling him the wrong thing that you're doing. He knows. Now, maybe you're thinking, it's hopeless. I always fail. God has to do it for me. I'm not even going to try anymore. It is true that God is sovereign over your life and that you can't do it if he doesn't do it in you and that you do need his help. But you can't blame God for not obeying and honoring your parents. You can't blame him for what you choose to do. He has given you the commandment as to what you must do, and you must obey that commandment. He has given you the commandment, and he's given you the ability to obey that commandment, and he's given you the decision as to whether or not you will, and you must. And you can't blame him if you don't. And if you do, you will be blessed. If you use the means he has given you, you will be blessed for using those means. But if you are earnestly, if you are honestly asking God to help to obey and to honor your parents, as we've said, he will be helping you. And you're going to fail. And you're going to fail again. Don't give up. Confess it again. Repent again. God still loves you. God is a God of second chances and of 100 chances. Don't harden yourself just because of his mercy, but keep a soft heart that is continually humble and continually repentant. Humbly ask for forgiveness. Maybe it's happening over and over again in your life. You don't know why you keep asking for repentance. Maybe there's some other underlying sin in your life. You need to deal with that. It might be painful, but you need to deal with that. Don't keep it hidden. Expose that to the light. Search out what it might be. God is gracious. God's people are gracious. You don't have to be afraid if God finds out. You don't have to be afraid if God's people find out. God's people are Jesus' body on earth. We represent Christ here on earth. Seek out some trustworthy friends. Seek out the elders. We are here to tenderly and lovingly care for you as a shepherd does his sheep. Now we've come to the end and we've accomplished our purpose this morning. Children, young adults, adults with parents, sons and daughters of God, God will bless you if you obey your parents, if you honor your parents. If you obey God, if you honor God, God will bless you. It's not easy, but it is the simple but difficult path to blessing.